Good morning. I'd like to welcome everyone to the Sunday School in Montrose here this morning. I only see three children in the front seats here. I'm sure there's more that are old enough to sit up front. Maybe they could come up now. While we're waiting for those to come up, maybe we could start by singing some hymns. Before we do that, we're going to ask for the Lord's help and blessing, because we're going to open the Word of God, and we're going to talk about the Lord Jesus Christ and what He's done for us on the cross of Calvary. And it's my exercise this morning to impress upon you His great love to us, you know, why He went to the cross of Calvary and shed His precious blood there to wash all our sins away. If there's anyone here who hasn't yet put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ, I trust with the Lord's help this morning, you'll gain a greater sense of His love to you, what He's accomplished on the cross at Calvary, and how great a debt you have, because each one of us is a sinner. We're born in sin and shaped in iniquity. We read that in the 51st Psalm. And you will realize that there's nothing you can do to be made fit in the presence of God except that you accept the Lord Jesus Christ into your heart. Let Him come in and wash all those sins away. And then there'll be joy in heaven. We read of that in the Bible. And you'll go on rejoicing too. And after, we're going to sing for about 10 or 15 minutes. And then we're going to open the Word of God. And we're going to talk about our hearts for a little bit. And then we're going to talk about something that's broken. We're going to talk about that a little bit too. Something that has lost its purpose. It can no longer do what it's meant to do. So we're going to talk about that a little bit too. But before we do, we're going to ask for the Lord's help. Our gracious God, loving Father, we just look to Thee and thank Thee for giving an only begotten Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior. We thank Thee, Lord Jesus, for what Thou hast done for us and Thy great love for us that kept Thee there on that cross as Thou suffered the judgment of our sins on the cross of Calvary. Every one of them was paid for, Lord Jesus, in those 3 hours of darkness. And then Thy blood was shed, Lord Jesus, to wash all our sins away. We pray, Lord Jesus, that each one here has put their faith and trust in Lord Jesus Christ, that they are going on rejoicing in Thee, seeing beauty in Thee, and how lovely Thou art, Lord Jesus. We just pray, if there is one that's still lingering, Lord Jesus, for whatever reason, that they will come to Thee today, Lord Jesus. And if there's anyone here pretending to be a Christian too, we trust too that they will see the folly in it and come to Thee too, Lord Jesus, before it's forever too late. So we thank Thee for this privilege, Lord Jesus. We pray for hearts that are ready to receive the good seed, Thy precious word. We ask it in Thy worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen. Well, we have hymn sheets here, and you don't have to pick the children's hymns on the back of the sheets. You can pick any of the other hymns there if you like. And if I can't get it started, we'll ask your brother to start it for us. So do we have one? Do we have a number? One hand. Good.
Number 38.
Number 38. Okay. I know not what it's a beautiful hymn. For me, I didn't come to know the Lord Jesus Christ until I was almost 30 years old. It's so much better to come to the Savior when you're young. Now, there was a time when I was younger, I was 14, and a Christian tried to bring me to the Lord Jesus Christ, but and he asked me if I knew where I was going. And I knew I was a sinner, so I told him, I'm probably going to hell. The tears started coming down his face. He said, you don't have to go there. But you know, Satan used my friends to whisk me away so I couldn't hear the rest of the story. And I talked about that a little bit when I had Sunday school here 2 years ago. 2 years ago, and it wasn't until I was 30 that I set the Lord Jesus Christ in my heart. We have another hymn. We have another number. Okay. 46. Spelling song. Glati I thee I
wants all to be
we've had two boys ask for a number. Let's have a girl here. Don't be shy. We have a girl here who'd like to sing, pick a number. Do you have a number? Oh, sorry.
40.
40. Jesus
loves me, this I know.
That's probably the best known and the best love of children's hymns. And with the Lord's help this morning, I'm going to talk about how much the Lord Jesus loves us, even before we came to Him and asked Him into our heart to be our Savior, to wash away all of our sins. Well, I guess we could have one more hymn. So we got someone in the front row here would like to. Okay. 45. Too little
eyes to love, too bright, too little ears to hear His word, too little feet to walk His ways, too hands to work for Him all my days. One little tongue to speak.
It's a nice hymn. It's a wonderful thing when we realize our need of a Savior, that we're a sinner, undone in sin. There's nothing that we can do except come to the Lord Jesus Christ. And it doesn't have to be a long prayer. Ask Him into His heart. It's your heart, so He can save you. So that you're fit to be in presence with Him in joy forevermore. I said we were going to talk a little bit about our heart, and you know, before we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, our heart was black with sin. And then when we realize our condition before God, that there's nothing that we can do and we can't be in His presence because of the awfulness of our sins, then we turn to the Lord Jesus, because He's the only one who's able to pay the penalty of our sins. And He's done that work, and it's a finished work too, on the cross of Calvary, shedding His precious blood to wash every one of our sins away. Every one. You know, there's only one thing that can, one person I should say, that can satisfy our heart forevermore. You know, God in His wisdom has made us that way, that there's nothing that will bring everlasting joy in our heart except His dearly beloved Son, the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, it makes me think, when you look at that, the way our heart is made, there's only one thing that can give you joy forevermore, and that's the beloved, our beloved Son of our Father, the Lord Jesus Christ. It makes me think of a lock. There's only one key though. They'll open that lock. I mean, there's thousands of keys, but there's only one that can open it. And we're going to kind of compare that to our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. There's only one key to our heart, and that's our Savior, Lord Jesus Christ. Yes, there's lots of other keys there that Satan would show us. There's the keys of fame, if you were aspiring to be a famous actor or famous artist or inventor or some such thing. There's also be the key of works, where you're trying to do good deeds to you think you're making yourself fit to be in the presence of God. There's the keys of knowledge, if you're aspiring to learn great things in university. This, the key of power, if you're aspiring to be the leader of your town or your county or your country or whatever the case may be. These are all keys that are, the enemy of our soul, Satan, has put before us to distract us from the only key that will truly unlock our hearts so there's joy forevermore. There are vain distractions that have been put in our way to distract us from coming to the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's what Satan, the enemy of our soul, wants to do. He wants to distract us by any means possible from coming to the Lord Jesus. He's a being of hatred, Satan, especially towards those that love and glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. An absolute being of hatred. He's completely unable to experience love or understand love. Complete contrast from our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is love. He is love. And if you're someone who's gotten older, like myself, before we accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, you may have tried some of those keys, those other keys that don't work. And you know, when you try a key in a lock that doesn't work, it won't open the lock, and I suppose if you're strong enough and force the key, you may end up breaking the lock. You know, that's what can happen too if you're trying these other keys that Satan has put before you, that we've been talking about, the keys of works, the keys of fame, the keys of knowledge, the keys of power. And if you pursue that course, trying to get satisfaction in your heart that way, what's going to happen is it's like forcing a key that doesn't work. It's going to break your heart. It's going to break your heart. And Satan breaks hearts all the time. That's his purpose. As I said before, he's a being of hatred, and he can't even understand love. He can't even understand it. The Lord Jesus, he is love. He's loved us with such a great love, too, that he suffered on the cross of Calvary in 3 hours of darkness. We're never going to know how much he suffered at the hand of God to pay the penalty of our sins. We'll probably never know how much he endured on the cross of Calvary in those 3 hours of darkness. If he could have done it in less time, he would have, but he couldn't. How great a work the Lord Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. You know, he spoke the worlds into existence by the word of his power. I think Brother John Kemp mentioned that yesterday. By the word of his power. But you know, he couldn't do that with our sins and maintain his holiness. He couldn't do it. And he had to suffer on the cross of Calvary to wash all our sins away. There's a verse in chapter 1 of Hebrews, and verse 3. Our brother John Kemp, I believe, mentioned it during the gospel like last night. And I was just wondering if there's anyone here who would like to read that verse for me. Is there anyone here who would like to read that verse for me? If I don't see any hands coming up. No? No. Okay, well, I'll read it, and maybe perhaps there'll be a few more verses that we're going to read as well. But it says in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 3, who being in the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person, upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high. That's our Savior. One tremendous power and glory and majesty. Speak the worlds in existence by the word of his power, but he couldn't do that for our sins. He had to suffer for 3 hours of darkness on the cross of Calvary. I wanted to talk about, a little bit about something that's broken, something that no longer can do what it was meant to do. You know, each one of us has been put here for a reason. Shortly before I accepted the Lord Jesus Christ, I realized I had to be here for a reason. He'd already been working in my heart, drawing him to himself before I accepted him into my heart. I knew I had to be here for a reason, and that means that each one of us here have to be here for a reason too. I don't just mean sitting in our seats here in Montrose. I mean living our lives in this world. And you know, if we don't, we haven't accepted the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we can never do what we were meant to do, because God has a purpose, a divine purpose, for each one of us. But until we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we don't have the power to do it. We don't have the power to do it. We can never do what we're meant to do. We can never do the purpose, the divine purpose, that we were made for. And I just wanted to talk a little bit about that. You know, I'm sure you children here have had a toy that you really liked, that you played with, and you enjoyed playing with it, but then perhaps because of an accident, or maybe the thing wore out or whatever, the thing became broken. If any of you children had that happen to you, where you had a toy you really liked and it was broken. Do we have anybody? Want to talk about it? Sure.
I had a big yellow tractor that I could ride on, and then the rear axle broke. Oh. So it was pretty useless.
Yes, that's the point I'm getting to. When something is broken and is unable to do what it was meant to do, as our brother Jonathan has already mentioned, it's useless. And you know, that's like us too, before we accept the Lord Jesus Christ. We're useless. We're useless to God. Not that he needs us, but it's his joy to have us do his will, to do what he's purposed for us in our lives. It's his joy, and it should be our joy too. And you know, if you don't accept him as your Savior, you're broken or useless. Now, I forgot to ask Jonathan, how did you feel about that when it was broken?
Pretty sad.
Pretty sad. Pretty sad, he says. And you know, what about the Lord Jesus? The purpose that he has for us in this world, that we can joy in him doing his will. to fulfill our divine purpose. What about the Lord Jesus? If you never come to the Lord Jesus Christ, it not only makes him sad, it grieves him. It really grieves him because he's made the provision on the cross of Calvary. But there's a sadness there because you haven't come to him. And as Jonathan said, when you can't do what you're meant to do, you're broken. You can't. And it's just, it's become useless. And that's what I really wanted to kind of impress upon us, that not having a sense of purpose in this world, that's an awful feeling, not to have a sense of purpose. And you know, there's a lot of people in this world that don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as their Savior. And they don't seem to have any purpose in their life. And it's only through our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, that we can experience the purpose, to do the purpose, to do His will, and have joy in Him. Now there's a verse in Philippians. It's in chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13. I was thinking of particular. Is there anyone here who would like to read that verse for me?
For it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure.
Thank you. To do and to will of his good pleasure. You know, when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ as our Savior, we're able to do. He works in us both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He gives us the power to be able to do it. Something that we never had before by the indwelling of His Holy Spirit. So something that we never had before. And it's only by the indwelling of His Holy Spirit that we're able to do anything to please God. Before we were saved, there was nothing we could do to please God. All we had was our sins. We had nothing else to offer to God except our sins. We have nothing to boast in. All our sins are like filthy rags, and it speaks of in Scripture, something that's disgusting. And it's only through His love towards us that we're able, by the indwelling of His Holy Spirit, that we are given the power to do His will, to do what we're meant to do in this world. And that's a wonderful thing, you know. After He's shown His love to us, then He fits us so that we're able to do those things that He would have us to do, so that others around us can see the love of God through our works and through our words, that others want to come to the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what each one of us has been put in this world for, to do that work, to perform the will of the Lord Jesus Christ, to bring others to Lord Jesus. But you know, God in His love has sought after each and every one of us. Now it talks of in the Psalms 33, yet God speaketh once, yea twice. But you know, I know in my life and perhaps in yours too, He's spoken to you many more times than that to realize how great your sins are and there's nothing that you can do to get rid of those sins except to put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And I hope and pray that each one here has put your faith in Lord Jesus, that you're no longer broken like Jonathan's tractor, useless, but that you've come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. You've come to Him. To Him. And have eternal life. And you know, we're told in God's Word that behold, now is the day of salvation. He doesn't promise us tomorrow. He doesn't even promise us this afternoon. He only promises us now. So, if there's anyone here who still hasn't put their faith and trust in the Lord Jesus, that you'll bow your head quietly when we pray at the end of the meeting and accept Him into your heart and go on rejoicing. You know, He wants to save you. You know, we're His. We belong to Him because He's made us. Because He has made us. You know, there's a verse in the 139th Psalm. It's one of my favorite Psalms. In the 139th Psalm, on verse 14. Now I was just wondering if there's someone here who would like to read the 14th verse of that 139th Psalm. Is there someone here who would like to read that? Psalm 139. Well, we need one of the older ones. Verse 14.
I will praise Thee, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are Thy works, and that my soul knoweth right well.
Thank you. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And what's the result when we really realize that? I will praise Thee. I will when each one of us will glorify the Lord Jesus Christ and give Him the praise and the worship that He's so worthy of, not just because of what He's accomplished on the cross at Calvary, as marvelous as that is, but because of who He is, the Son of God, from everlasting to everlasting. He always was. And we consider that one and how He desires to be our friend, one of such great majesty and glory and power, and He wants to be your friend. He even holds the very breath in your hand, and you wouldn't be able to have it except He gives it to you. And He wants to be your friend. You know, the Lord Jesus is the most wonderful friend and Savior that we could ever have. You know, Scripture tells us of him sticking to us closer than a brother. And you know, that's our Savior, the Lord Jesus. Marvelous are his works. His ways are unsearchable. And as I've mentioned already, we'll never probably enter into what he had to suffer on the cross of Calvary to redeem us to ourselves, to himself, so that we could be fit to be with him in the soon coming day. You know, I mentioned too that with that verse, "Behold, now is the day of salvation." You know, it could happen any soon. We could hear that shout. We read of that, where everyone that knows the Lord Jesus Christ will be caught out of the scene in a twinkling of an eye, just like that, gone. Be with him forevermore. And you know, I hope that you're ready, that you'll be able to hear that shout, to be with him, to see him as he is. If not, you'll be left behind for judgment. And that's a terrible thing that will be, especially when you realize that you had that opportunity to accept the Lord Jesus as your Savior and to but you refused. And that makes the Lord Jesus has no pleasure in judgment of the wicked. He'll be sad because he's made that provision and you've refused it. If you've refused it, he'll be sad. There was a hymn in the Exodus of Grace, God beseeching and man refusing to be made forever glad. I hope, dear one, if you haven't accepted Lord Jesus as your Savior, that you will come to him and will also be made forever glad. That you won't be broken because of sin. That you won't be broken so that you can't do what you are meant to do. That you'll be made whole. You'll be made whole through the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we just thank thee for what thou hast done for us, giving thine only begotten Son. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for what thou hast done on the cross of Calvary to redeem us. We thank thee, Lord Jesus, for such a love as thine that kept thee there on the cross of Calvary. And we trust that everything that's been said this morning, Lord Jesus, has been for thine honor and thy glory, and has been the truth according to the word of God, Lord Jesus. That if anyone here hasn't opened their heart to Lord Jesus, that key, the only key, which is thee, Lord Jesus, will come in and wash all our sins away, that they'll go on rejoicing. We just look to thee, Lord Jesus, and thank thee for the privilege again of proclaiming thee as the only Savior of sinners. We thank thee again for that finished work on the cross. We thank thee in thy worthy and precious name, Lord Jesus. Amen.